everybody.
Welcome back to another episode of Pricks on Flicks with Chris and Vince. I'm Chris.
I'm Vince. And with us in studio for the first time in a long time. Month?
A month, few years.
At least a month.
At least a month. Certain.
Got tired of you guys.
Yeah.
I had to go take a break somewhere far away, thousands and thousands of miles across an ocean.
We chased him off.
Yeah.
But I'm back.
All right. What are we going to talk about today? Do we have a good or we have a good show for you today?
Yeah.
Where's your confidence?
Who cares? Right. What are we talking about? We're going to talk about the Emmy wins?
Yeah, the entire show, not just the wins. We'll talk about the hosts and the presenters and the Teddy Perkins of the world. But then we're going to talk about the BBC show Bodyguard.
Yeah, I was reading
starring
today.
Kevin Costner and Whitney Houston.
Yes, I was reading today that it's probably going to be coming to BBC America. So these people, like, it'll come over here. What else are we going to talk about?
The Predator.
The Predator, yeah, the big one. Predator.
Yeah.
What are you drinking, Chris?
Death Before Disco.
By Left Hand Brewing.
I don't know, you got the can.
I do, it is Left Hand.
It's alright.
It's a porter. I mean, it's just a standard bone stock porter.
It's alright.
Chocolate malts, dark berry notes, and roasted malts. Yeah, all right.
I don't taste any berry notes. Do you?
Berry notes?
Yeah.
No. But I am excited for that next thing that that Warlock you got in there.
That's, oh, is that what we're going
to
drink next?
That's what I would like to drink next. If you want to drink the other one, the Tropic Thunder, then you can. But I'd like to drink the Warlock.
We'll go with the Warlock.
All right.
All right. Let's start off with the Emmys. Start off with the little guys, like supporting stuff.
Yeah.
All right, let's start off with supporting performances.
Okay.
And let's see. Outstanding supporting actor in a limited series or movie. The winner here was Jeff Daniels for Godless.
Yeah.
Ricky Martin, Edgar Ramirez, I don't know. Finn Whitlock or Whitrock, who we know.
But it's Whitrock?
Yeah, I thought it was Whitlock.
I thought it was, but it is Whitrock.
Yeah.
Oh. Michael Stahlbarg.
That's, yeah, whatever. From The Looming Tower.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, when they showed all these, you saw all the clips and then they showed Jeff Daniels' clip at the end. You're like, oh, well.
Yeah.
Different class right there.
Yeah. John Leguizamo, too, from Waco.
I didn't understand that.
Which I didn't understand it. He was like the least. We loved that show. I'm putting that out there. We absolutely loved Waco.
But he didn't do anything.
He was
in
the
show.
Weak link, really, of like the main cast.
Not that he was bad.
No, he wasn't bad. He was nothing compared to Taylor Kitsch and Michael Shannon. I mean, those guys, I don't know why those guys aren't sitting with Emmys right now, actually. I loved Godless. Did you ever finish Godless?
No, I didn't. I watched some of it.
It was good. I loved it.
All right, outstanding supporting actress in a limited series or movie, Merritt Weaver.
Yeah, from Godless.
Yes, nice speech from her. I liked her speech.
Yeah, I liked it too.
Penelope Cruz, Judith Light,
Letitia Wright, and Sarah Bareilles.
Adina Porter.
Yep, Adina Porter.
Which one is that?
She was Tara's mom on fucking True Blood. She's on the 100. Right. She was in the newsroom.
Letitia Wright for the Black Mirror episode. And Letitia Wright, was that Black Panther's sister?
Yep.
Okay, that's what I thought. I actually wanted her to win, even though she probably didn't deserve it. She wasn't bad, but I don't know. I just wanted to see some Black Mirror love, which they did get.
Sarah Bareilles. I like Sarah Bareilles. I like her music.
Outstanding supporting actress in a drama series. Tandy Newton was a winner for Westworld, which, as much as I hate that show, I wasn't too upset about that because Tandy Newton's pretty good in the show.
Yes, but she is. I think I've seen everything in here. Yes, I have. I've seen everything in here, and Yvonne Strahovski dwarfs them all.
That's who I wanted to win.
Yes.
There were three, wasn't it three Handmaid's Tale?
Yes.
Yeah, three nominated in this category. Alexis Bledel.
Bledel.
Ann Dowd and Yvonne Strahovski.
Yeah, and I, you know, and Lena Headey's not won for Cersei yet, and she's been nominated a few times. That'd be nice to see her win too. But like you said, Tandy Newton is not bad by any means in Westworld. She's actually the shining light in that dim, dark, dark crevasse.
Outstanding supporter actor in a drama series.
Drummer. Peter,
what?
Sorry,
did I say something wrong?
Yeah, drummer.
Drummer. Drummer.
Drummer.
I was thinking of what's her first name? Drummer's first name?
Kamina.
Kamina Drummer. All right, Peter Dinklage.
That's funny because I'm always thinking about Kamina Drummer.
I know you are. Peter Dinklage as Tyrion Lannister for Game of Thrones. Yay! How many? Only two nominated from Game of Thrones.
Him and Jamie Lannister.
Yeah, Jamie.
Nikolai Coster-Waldau.
Another Handmaid's Tale, Joseph Fiennes, David Harbour, Stranger Things, Mandy Patinkin, Homeland.
I find Joseph Fiennes out of place in that.
Yeah, I did too. I love the show,
yeah,
but I don't know. Kind of like, who were we talking about earlier? Somebody like Wazamo.
Yeah, just, I mean.
Not that he's bad.
I think the Emmys are just like, well, I mean, we have to throw a dude in there from Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah, because they get nominated for everything.
For every other category, so might as well. But yeah, I Mandy Patinkin would have been great. Actually, any one of these, but yeah. Joseph Fiennes, I would have been happy with.
Mm-hmm. Okay, outstanding supporting actor in a comedy series. This one surprised me, and this was early in the night.
Yeah,
I think it was the first award.
It surprised me, too, because I really didn't want him to win.
I didn't mind him winning, but I didn't want him to win. We had, given the nominees, Kenan Thompson, Tony Shalhoub, Brian Tyree Henry, Tytus Burgess, Alec Baldwin.
Tytus Burgess.
Yeah, that's what it says. Tytus Burgess as Tytus. And
that's from Kimmy Schmidt.
Andrew Madon.
Yeah, he's not on my list. I have Alec Baldwin, Kenan Thompson, Louis Anderson, Tony Shalhoub, Brian Tyree Henry, and Henry Winkler.
Alec Baldwin, Louis Anderson. And Henry Winkler. And Henry Winkler won for Barry.
I don't understand that.
I don't either. Especially when I talked about... Now, I say it like I had a hand in these people winning. But
maybe.
When we talked about Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, and I said, this show could be terrible, but I would still watch it solely for the scenes with Tony Shalhoub.
Absolutely.
That's how good he is in that show.
I would have been happy with Tony Shalhoub most of all, and then second, Brian Tyree Henry. But I didn't understand Henry Winkler. I mean, yeah, it was 46 years in the making, but
I was okay with it because I don't know. I guess I was kind of like happy to see Henry Winkler win. And he looked so excited.
And he had a good
happy
speech. Yeah. He gave a good speech.
So I was just like, oh, okay.
He said
good for him.
He said he wrote the speech 46 years ago.
Oh, I was going to say in his speech, did he go, hey,
he should have.
Oh God, that would have been great. Outstanding performing actress in a comedy series, or supporting actress in a comedy series.
Zazie Beetz.
Yeah, Zazie Beetz.
Didn't win, I just like saying that name.
Zazie Beetz, Betty Gilpin, Leslie Jones, Kate McKinnon, Laurie Metcalf, Megan Mullally, Adi Bryant, and Alex Borstein. And my pick was Alex Borstein, and she took it.
Really? I figured, now that was your pick to win, or who you wanted to win?
It was my pick to win.
Because I would have thought you wanted Betty Gilpin.
I think I said that before I watched Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I would have been happy with Betty Gilpin as well. I thought Betty Gilpin was the highlight of Glow, her and Marc Maron.
I was happy with this winner.
Yeah. I was really happy with it. She did a little strip tease before she got up on stage.
Yeah. She said she went braless, and you can tell.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go into the... You want to do the acting or the programs? Let's do the acting.
Let's do acting and then programs.
Okay, start off with outstanding lead actress in a limited series or movie, Regina King.
Yes, for seven seconds. Yes, 7 seconds. Fantastic show on Netflix. It was created by Vina Sood, who did The Killing, which was a show that both me and Chris really enjoyed.
Let's go to outstanding lead actor in a limited series or movie.
Two guys, one box, or
two guys in a truck.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the company that won in this category. Darren Criss for The Assassination of Gianni Versace.
You know, I listened to the episode where we read off all these nominations. I want to say, how many Emmys was this nominated for?
A lot. I saw it in a lot.
Every single time I said Giovanni Versace. It just when I was read when we
Gianni.
Yeah.
Did I say Giovanni?
No, you said Gianni.
Oh,
okay. You said it right. When I'm saying I went back and listened like the next day or when it when we aired. When that episode came out, I listened to it, and every single time I read what it, I said, the assassination of Giovanni Versace, and I was like,
"Dude, I noticed that stuff listening back all the time." Just on one of our recent episodes, I said, "Get off my plane," and then I said, "Area 51."
Was that Passenger 57? No,
Air Force One.
It'd been way cooler if. Wesley Snipes said it in Passenger 57.
Always bet on black.
Always bet on black. I like when.
But yeah, I do that stuff all the time. And if you said Giovanni Versace, I didn't catch it.
Giovanni.
Because I probably would have corrected you.
No. All right, so the other people in this category were Jeff Daniels for the Looming Tower, which I really, really wanted to win. I loved the Looming Tower. Antonio Banderas for Genius, Picasso, which I did watch a few episodes of that. It wasn't bad. It was weird. John Legend, Jesus Christ Superstar, live in concert. Benedict Cumberbatch, Patrick Melrose, which I did not watch, and Meth Damon.
Meth Damon.
Whose real name is Jesse.
Now,
Plemons.
You did mention off mic that you thought that John Legend, if he would have won this, would have been gotten the EGOT?
Yes, the EGOT. Yes, he would have got the EGOT, which I don't know. I think that's the awards, not just the nomination. So he didn't have the EGOT, but he has won a Grammy, an Oscar, and a Tony. And I believe the Tony was for this.
Yeah.
So he did not get the EGOT, but I don't know. Maybe somebody will cast him in.
Getting nominated for all four of those is pretty cool.
Yeah, he would have been, I believe, the second African-American to ever do it, the other one being Viola Davis.
Be interesting to just see the entire list of people that have done it, because I can't imagine it's very big.
It's not. Bette Midler.
I was going to say maybe Bette Midler, because she's done such a variety of different formats.
Maybe
not formats.
Hey, continue on, and I'll Google who's got the EGOT.
All right. We did the actress. Let's go to Outstanding Lead Actor in a Drama Series. Matthew Rhys as Philip Jennings from The Americans was the winner here, which I was happy about, but there were some good nominees in here. Jason Bateman from Ozark, Sterling K. Brown, This Is Us, Ed Harris, Westworld, Milo Ventimiglia, This Is Us, and Jeffrey Wright, who's Bernard on Westworld.
I was happy with Matthew Rhys.
I was too. I'd have been okay with Jason Bateman and Sterling K. Brown. But those are the only other two that I would have accepted as a winner. Otherwise, I would have won.
Say them again.
Jason Bateman, Sterling K. Brown, Ed Harris, Milo Ventimiglia, and Jeffrey Wright. Jeffrey Wright, Bernard.
Yeah, I know who that is. He's actually going to be in a new Netflix movie, which we'll probably watch and talk about. Milo Ventimiglia, Sterling K. Brown, and then Matthew Rhys for those are the ones who would.
Jason Bateman?
It was season one, so he was just being Jason Bateman.
Okay, but would you have... See, I would thought Jason Bateman well over Milo.
Yeah.
Not Sterling, though. But definitely over Milo. All right. Outstanding lead actress in a drama series, Claire Foy, who is... She's going to be the girl... Whatever. Not the dragon tattoo, but...
Oh, yeah. The girl with the who in the spider web, caught in the spider web.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah. I couldn't remember the name of which one they were doing. But she won for The Crown. Tatiana Maslany.
That was her category to win.
You've talked about her a lot.
And if you haven't seen Orphan Black, it's some of the best acting you'll ever see in your life.
Maybe the biggest disappointment for me, but I can't really say much because I haven't watched The Crown, but Elizabeth Moss for Handmaid's Tale not winning this. Sandra Oh, I would have liked to see her win also.
That'd have been cool.
Kerry Russell, Evan Rachel Wood from Westworld. Pretty good category. A lot of good nominees in there.
You want me to read this EGOT list real quick?
Okay. Well, let's round out this acting category. Outstanding lead actress in a comedy series, Rachel Brosnahan. From Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
That was I was really happy with that. Go over the list real quick.
Pamela Alden, Better Things, which I haven't watched, but I have seen her in Californication. Allison Janney for Mom, who just won an Oscar.
Yep.
For
the mom of Itanya.
Yes.
Tanya Harding's mom. Crazy Harding, we'll call her that.
Issa? Is that her name? Ray?
Issa Rae? Yeah, Issa? For Insecure?
Yes.
Yeah.
Tracy Ellis Ross for Blackish, Lily Tomlin for Grace and Frankie.
That's a show on Netflix that's supposed to be really good. It's about two old ladies. Jane Fonda is the other one, is Frankie.
Rachel Brosnahan was a clear winner.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, these two old ladies start a sex toy company. It's supposed to be pretty good.
It's pretty funny.
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
It's
funny.
Outstanding lead actor in a comedy series, Bill Hader for Barry.
I would.
I know. Anthony Anderson, Ted Danson, Larry David, Donald Glover, William H. Macy. Out of this list.
My vote was for Donald Glover.
Of course it was. I know that. Me not having watched Atlanta, I wanted Bill Hader because of this list. Even though I don't know that Bill Hader was all that great. I thought he was good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But here's the thing. When he got up there, you know how people get up there and they say, oh, I didn't think I was going to win. I've seen two people do that ever and actually really, truly feel that they did not believe it. One was Tatiana Maslany 2 years ago when she won Best Actress in a sci-fi channel show. And then the second one was Bill Hader when he got up there and said, I didn't think I was going to win this. I genuinely felt like he had no idea he was going to win. Because
he also got up there and said that, I don't remember how he said it exactly, but he said the cast around him is what made his performance good, which I like that he said that. It was cool. All right, that covers the acting.
Did we say Peter Dinklage? Yeah, we did. Okay, yeah. I was really happy about that, by the way.
Oh yeah.
Me too.
That's not his first one, is it?
No, it's his third.
I was going to say
third for Game of Thrones and fifth time being nominated. Yeah, Tyrion.
All right, EGOTs.
All right, EGOTs. Number one, wait, hang on. Babs, Barbara Streisand, Liza Minnelli, James Earl Jones, Alan Menken, Harry Belafonte, Quincy Jones. Wait, sorry, these are the almost. These are the ones who've been nominated. Sorry, those are the almost. The other list is, Andrew Lloyd Webber, John Legend, and Tim Rice. John Legend did win an Emmy this year. It wasn't for Best Actor. It wasn't. Yeah, it was one of the ones that wasn't televised. So John Legend, Tim Rice, Andrew Lloyd Webber, and you're probably not going to know any of these other names except for a few. Robert Lopez, Scott Rudin. You know who this is? Whoopi
Goldberg.
Yep. Is there another Whoopi Cushion, maybe?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Mike Nichols, Mel Brooks.
Oh, yeah.
No Mel Brooks. Jonathan.
No Bette Midler on
Tonic.
There?
No, she's gotten the nominations.
Okay.
Marvin Hamlisch, Audrey Hepburn, John Gielgud. No, I don't know.
All right, anybody else is worth
mentioning? Rita Moreno. I only got two more. Helen Hayes and Richard Rodgers. All those 15 people have all won an Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, and a Tony.
No Viola Davis.
She was on the list of almost. I think she didn't win one of the awards.
Okay, Outstanding Reality Competition Program. RuPaul.
I was actually happy about that.
Okay. I was pissed off that Survivor's not on here.
My wife watches that. Wasn't it a timing thing?
I don't know.
I thought it was.
I don't think so. I don't think they got nominated because they put out two seasons a year.
Yeah. You'd think that they'd have to at least do that. All right. Where are we at?
Outstanding limited series, The Assassination of Giovanni Versace. The Alienist, Genius, Picasso, Godless, Patrick Melrose.
Out of all those, I think I only watched two all the way through, and that was The Alienist and Godless. I really would have liked Godless to win. Alienist, not
I'm surprised
very good.
It didn't with a lot of the stuff that it did get. I mean, it got Best Supporting Actor and Best
Actress.
Lead Actress?
No, Best Supporting Actress and Best Supporting Actor,
Okay, outstanding variety talk series. Oh, I was thrilled with this one. Last Week Tonight with John Oliver won.
Third year in a row. Nice. He's won an Emmy every year he's been on television, and I think that's amazing. Tough category, too. Jimmy Kimmel Live, Full Frontal with Samantha Bee, The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, or as he says, Trevor! The Late Show with James Corden, and The Late Show with Stephen Colbert.
Yeah.
The Late Late Show with James Corden, which I do like his carpool karaoke. I'm not going to lie. It's cool when he gets people on it. Did you ever hear about how Anthony Kiedis from Red Hot Chili Peppers saved someone's life in a carpool karaoke?
No.
Yeah, they saw somebody choking and passed out, and Anthony Kiedis and Flea jumped out and started did CPR until the ambulance got there. In the middle of filming carpool karaoke,
wow.
Anthony Kiedis, hero, did not want to feel that way.
That should have won an Emmy.
Good job.
Outstanding variety sketch series.
Sorry.
Saturday Night Live won. At Home with Amy Sedaris, Drunk History, I Love You, America with Sarah Silverman, Portlandia, Tracy Allman Show.
Yeah. I don't watch any of those except for the... Oh, no, I do watch Drunk History. Drunk History is fantastic. But yeah, Saturday Night Live, yeah.
Outstanding comedy series. The nominees were Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, Silicon Valley, Glow, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Blackish, Barry, Atlanta, and the winner, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
That was a tough one for me because I really loved Glow. I really love Atlanta. I really loved The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. And what were the other ones?
You really liked Barry?
Yeah, I loved Barry. I thought Barry was fantastic.
Okay, I love it. Curb Your Enthusiasm. Don't think it deserves an Oscar in this, or I mean, an Emmy in this category. Glad it got a nomination.
Yeah.
And
then drama is the last one, right?
Speaking of which, when he came out to like present, and somebody said something about the banter with him, whoever he was presenting with said something about,
oh,
hey Larry, yeah, how you doing?
He was just Rachel Brosnahan.
Yeah, and he was just like, eh. All right.
I did like, I don't do this. The banter. All right, outstanding drama series. The Crown, Handmaid's Tale, Stranger Things, The Americans, This Is Us, Westworld, which I don't ask me why Westworld is in there, and the winner for the fourth time? Third or at least the third time, Game of Thrones, the greatest show that ever was or will be.
Maybe.
That's just a line from the show.
And that's a big question, too, because... How do you say that, not having seen the finale?
Yeah, it's just something from the show.
Yeah, I know.
The Karth, the greatest city that ever was or will be.
Yeah, I know.
All right, that's your Emmy wins. Those are our opinions on the Emmy wins. All right. Also, shout out to Teddy Perkins, who made an appearance at the Oscars. I think it was Lakeith Stanfield.
And we had said, I don't know that we said, but hosted by Michael Chi?
Yeah.
Is that
Shay,
how you say it?
Shay.
Michael Shay and Colin
Jost. Yeah,
okay, whatever. Those are both Saturday Night Live guys?
Yes, they write Saturday Night Live and they do Weekend Update.
Okay.
Together.
I thought they were pretty blah.
They were.
Some of their jokes hit pretty well.
Can I say that I thought shit with Maya Rudolph and... Fred Armisen was awful.
Oh, it was terrible.
It was awful. Every time they came on screen, I fast-forwarded it.
I thought if it was just Fred Armisen, it might have been all right. I can't stand Maya Rudolph.
Oh, I love Maya Rudolph.
Really?
Yeah,
I can't stand her.
I think she's good.
But Fred Armisen, I think, is hilarious. Like, when he kept saying, are we good? And who was it? Colin Jost was like, why do you keep saying, are we good? Yeah. I love Fred Armisen, though. I think he's hilarious.
Okay. So that's the Emmy shit. Where I'm happy with a lot of the people who got awards.
For the most part, I was pretty happy with all the winners.
I think the biggest one for me, of the people who were nominated, I can go into about Taylor Kitsch and Michael Shannon from Waco all day long, but for the people who were nominated, Tony Shalhoub is probably...
Oh.
Tony Shalhoub and Tatiana Maslany, but they gave it to Tatiana Maslany, and that was kind of their... All right, we took care of sci-fi for the next 15 years. You know what I mean?
What show?
Orphan Black.
Oh, that's considered sci-fi?
Oh, yeah. It's about clones. Yeah. That's why she's so good. She plays like seven different characters, and each one is a different personality.
Oh, I thought she was just multiple personality.
No. Okay. No, she she plays seven different characters.
Gotcha. I thought she was like,
dude, some of them don't even
kind of like James McAvoy in Split.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
what I
no,
thought.
No. Okay, it's clones. It's a sci-fi show. It is like definitely technology that does not exist. And it's a really good show. It finished, so we won't see her nominated for that show ever again. But I feel like them giving it to her in 2016, they were just kind of like, all right, all you nerds out there that complain that we don't show any love to, we just gave the biggest female award to a sci-fi chick. You guys can shut the fuck up now. Go back into your parents' basements and beat off to Six from Battlestar Galactica. You know what I mean? Like just it, and so she really does. And that's the thing is she deserved it when they didn't nominate her the year before. People like threw a fit. They were like, are you kidding me?
It was nice to see Teddy Perkins in audience and also Elizabeth and Philip Jennings back together in America.
Yes. I don't know how they got back. I don't know. They fake IDs, fake passports.
Oh, his freaking accent. I had no idea. He should have got up there and just given it his American's voice.
I knew he was not American.
It sounded Irish to me.
I'm looking it up right now. I knew he wasn't American thick. Because I saw him in a really good movie called Burnt with it was about chefs. Okay, early life. I'm on his wiki page.
Where he was born.
You gonna tell me where he was born?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, no, it's over in the corner. Wales.
Oh, you were asking the
Yeah, he's Welsh.
Website.
He's
talking to the computer.
Yeah, sorry. He was Welsh. So he's from the UK. He's Welsh.
Yeah, it sounded very Irish. But what about the star of our next show that we're going to talk about, Bodyguard?
He's Scottish.
He's Scottish? Okay.
Scottish.
Yeah, he sounds a little Irish also. And sorry if I'm offending anybody Irish or Scottish
you
or
Welsh. You
know
what? I've been to Ireland. They don't roll their R's like the Scots do. But yeah, that's pretty much the only difference. By the way, the actor he's talking about is Richard Madden's. You guys probably know him as Robb Stark on Game of Thrones. Died during the Red Wedding. Tragic. I still shed tears about that every now and then. But for the baby. Not for him, but for Talissa's baby.
Well, I mean, he could have died and the baby still survived.
But no, she got stabbed in the stomach. No,
I said he.
I got you. Yeah, I got you.
Feel bad for her because the baby died. But whatever.
I feel bad for the Starks. Anyway. Yeah, that would have been another. I didn't even think about it. That would have been another Stark.
Yeah.
Just wipe right off the playing chessboard. All right. So Bodyguard is a BBC show that is coming to BBC America. We'll keep you posted on when that's going to air.
Is this starring anybody that we know besides Richard Madden?
The guy with the messed up face, like with the burns and scars on his face, he was in a whole first season of Preacher. I don't know.
He's
his
a guy
name.
That I have seen
yeah,
before.
He was in the first season of Preacher. He was one of the angels in Preacher. Okay. But other than that,
Tom Brooke, I think, is his name.
Yeah, maybe. I will say that the girl, the female detective, is, oh my God.
She looks a little like, I thought for a minute that it might have been Tessa Thompson. It's not, but.
Wait, who are you talking about? No, you're not the chick he's guarding. I'm talking about the black detective.
The chick he's guarding doesn't look anything like Tessa Thompson.
Oh, Tessa Thompson. No, okay, I know who you're talking about. I was thinking the other Thompson, Emma Thompson.
Oh,
yeah. No, I'm talking about the...
Yes, the black detective.
Yes, she is... Dude, what color are her eyes, pretty, dude? She has like hazel eyes and like this dark skin. She's so stunning. Her name is... Oh, for fuck's sake. Nina... Toussaint White. She plays the D.I. Rayborn, and she's... Look, check this chick out, dude. Oh, wait, let me get a color picture. Look at her, dude.
I'll look at her later.
Look at her, Stratton.
She's beautiful.
Okay. Anyway, this show is about a ex-military guy who is a police officer assigned to protect... A public figure, an English public figure. Was she the secretary of, or the minister of something?
Yeah. She's like a senator if you're in the United States, I guess.
I think more than that. I think she's like a congress like our equivalent of a Congress.
I don't know our officials very well either.
Well, Congress has more authority than senators, but she's a politician.
A state representative.
She's a politician, and David Budd, who's Richard Madden, he absolutely hates her stance on pretty much everything. I kind of look at it like if you were
Donald, if you were Donald Trump's bodyguard.
Oh, I was gonna say who's the Secretary of Education, Betsy
DeVos.
If you had the bodyguard Betsy DeVos, and you knew people were trying to kill her all the time.
Like, and then you started sleeping with Betsy DeVos also.
Yeah.
And you still hated her, but you still had to protect her and sleep with her.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, Richard, the Bud, he does kind of fall for this woman. I don't know, does he? Or does he just, because she's pretty.
I think he liked her.
You think he liked her?
Well, but just, I'm not so sure she's dead.
Me neither.
I think there might be a cover-up thing.
We are jumping around a lot.
Yeah.
We jumped to episode 3 and then to episode 4, and now we're like...
Now we're in episode 5.
Yeah, okay. So what do you... let me ask you right off the bat. This has like an 8.7, I think.
8.7? That's high.
8.6.
I think it's not extremely high. I would give it like an 8.1, 8.2.
So you like it a lot.
Of course.
It's yes. How amazing is it, dude?
It's very good.
And one of the best concepts ever, like... You never think about the Secret Service in our country having, like, there's probably a lot of Secret Service people that absolutely can't stand the people they, whether or not...
have to protect.
Yes, whether or not they're, I mean, it could be a Republican security, Secret Service guy protecting, was it Charles Schumer? Or a liberal Secret Service agent protecting Donald Trump. Like, these people are saying, I'm going to take a bullet for you. But you are the biggest piece of shit.
It's kind of like the
ever.
Guy that had to be a bodyguard for Dave in the movie Dave.
Never seen it.
You've never seen Dave?
Is that the
Kevin Kline?
Kevin Kline movie where wasn't really the president?
Yeah.
He was like a twin? Yeah. Never seen it.
Oh,
but
that might
it.
Be a homework assignment.
Kristen Scott Thomas was the woman in that. I remember that.
No, I don't remember that. And I've seen the movie.
I
love the movie Dave.
I love this.
You ever seen the movie Dave?
I did. I don't remember anything about it.
Yeah.
Back to Bodyguard.
Okay.
I love this show.
Wait, didn't we tease earlier that this was starring Kevin Costner and Whitney Houston?
Yeah, it's not.
No.
Sophie Rundle, Richard Madden. That's it. 8.6 is what it's got on the IMDb.
Yeah, I said like an 8.2.
I'm right there at 8.6.
Yeah, I think it's very good.
I think it's so good.
If you start watching the show, the opening 5 minutes will suck you right in.
Oh, my God. It was longer than that.
Oh, I mean, it might be. It was a very tense scene.
It was
too.
So tense.
Yeah, like, it was a great scene.
Yeah, I absolutely love this. The opening or the first episode has an 8.7. The second episode has a 9.0.
Wow!
Like this show is getting a lot of love, which is why I think they're bringing it to BBC America. Also, you get to hear Richard Madden speak in his natural dialect. His natural accent.
Yeah, and it's not like he sounded like an American in...
No, he spoke with an English accent. They all pretty much speak with standard English accents in Game of Thrones. And a lot of them are from Ireland, Scotland,
Wales. Yeah, it's just not as thick in Game of Thrones as it is in this.
But yeah, this guy, he's very Scottish.
Like sometimes when you watch it, when you watch Bodyguard, you're going to want the subtitles on. because you might not know what he's saying.
His accent's rough. And I remember when we were at the party, which we haven't talked about, but yeah, thanks for showing up to our movie party.
Did that come out?
Not yet.
No, not yet.
Okay.
That episode will be released soon. When I said he was Irish, but I misspoke because I knew he was Scottish because I remember seeing him in full I think it's called Kilt and Halter.
When he was in Braveheart?
No, when he is at Kit Harington's wedding.
Oh,
he showed up there like with the stockings all the way up and the kilt, and I'm like, dude, Rob Stark's got a fucking dress on. All right, Bodyguard. Fantastic show. We gave you the basic concept. A guy's bodyguarding a woman that he can't stand. Like he can't stand her politics, and he holds responsible for a lot of the problems that he's had in his life.
Okay, real quick. We are drinking Off Square Tropic Thunder.
You more shredded than a Julian salad, man.
I got a quick funny story to say about this. When I went and bought this, I'm looking at the can. Pineapple. I love pineapple. Pineapple IPA from Off Square, like I said, called Tropic Thunder. And at the top of the can, it says, we went full pineapple. So I'm like, great. A lot of pineapple. I go home. I don't know. This was at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon when I bought it. I'm laying in bed around midnight. And I just bust out laughing. And my wife wakes up and says, what are you laughing about? I said, we went full pineapple. I just got it. And she's like, what? Well, obviously, Tropic Thunder, play on, you never go full retard.
Yeah.
Which was from the movie Tropic Thunder, which I did not get until like 10 hours later. It was hilarious.
That's pretty funny. And it's funny, when we were sitting here, I picked up the can. I went, we went full pineapple. It's called Tropic Thunder. And then he told me the story. I'm like, I can't believe you missed that one. But
I don't know. I saw we went full pineapple. To me, it just meant, ooh, a lot of pineapple.
Yeah. Didn't put the name, put the Tropic Thunder.
But like I said, I don't know why. I'm laying in bed and all of a sudden just bust out laughing really loud. All right. Next.
The Blockbuster.
Well, was it?
No, it busted no blocks. In money wise, like, it didn't do very well in the theater, and
The Predator.
Yeah,
Boyd
Holbrook, Jacob Tremblay, Keegan Michael Key, Olivia Munn, Sterling K. Brown, Tom Jane, and Alfie Allen. Oh, and Jake Busey. Jake Busey had a little
small
spark.
Part.
And also Yvonne Strahovski.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We don't need to go into anybody else.
No.
And there was also a Predator or two. What'd you think, Chris?
I think everybody knows there were two.
Yeah. Yeah. It was. Actually, they waited till the second trailer to introduce that.
Right.
Especially when he chokeslammed him on that car. Mm-hmm. I remember I got giddy. I've always liked the Predator franchise. By the Predator franchise, I mean, this is the fourth movie in the Predator franchise, because AVPs don't count. Those take place in a
yeah, this is a
comic book world.
Arnold Schwarzenegger,
Danny Glover.
Danny Glover, Adrian Brody, and this
Boyd Holbrook. Yeah, those are your heroes of these series. Yeah, those four movies. Those are the four movies in the Predator series.
Okay, I thought there were a million things wrong with this movie. But I still really enjoyed it. To where I started thinking, if this was the first one that came out in 1987, and then the 1987 one came out today, would we be saying, oh, it's not like the original?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Maybe. But, and then when I was thinking about it, this one jumps right into the action. The first one, I mean, you really have that tension building, a lot of it where it's story and dialogue.
They hid the Predator for a long time in the first one.
And this one is kind of your typical, which I think is what's wrong with a lot of sequels, where they jump right into the action and it's not a good, not a great movie. It's just action.
Because you don't have to introduce they didn't have to introduce the Predator.
Right. But I think not having to introduce hurts the movie.
You thought it hurt this movie?
Yeah, when you compare it to the original. Now, I'm not comparing it to the original out of nostalgia here.
Okay.
I'm throwing nostalgia out. And I'm saying the tension and the buildup in the original is what made that one so good.
Yes.
To where this one, you don't have any of that, and it just becomes another action movie and not a great movie.
I will say that this movie did a few things that the other movies never did, and that was focus on the characters, not who are not the Predator. In the first one, what do we know about Dutch Arnold Schwarzenegger? Nothing. What do we know about Billy and none of these guys? They're just soldiers. In the sequel, Danny Glover, we don't really know a whole lot about him either, other than he really loves his police family. Was it Elizabeth Pena and was it Surveillance is my specialty.
Oh,
was
God.
It? Yeah, that cartoon character.
Pretty much ruined the movie for me.
And Danny, the Mexican guy who got killed. Danny boy. But this movie focused a lot on Boyd Holbrook. I will say that I liked Boyd Holbrook more than I liked any of the other heroes thus far.
I knew it.
I liked him more than Arnold. I liked him more than Danny Glover. And I liked him, I definitely liked him more than Adrian Brody.
Yeah.
I liked Boyd Holbrook's character a lot.
I definitely didn't like him more than Arnold Schwarzenegger or Danny Glover.
That would be the close. That would be the closest one. See, I liked Predator 2 just as much as I liked Predator 1.
Yeah, not me. I liked Predator 2. I just didn't like it as much as the first.
See, I like them. They're both on the even keel for me. This one, obviously, I don't like this. I didn't like this one as much as I like those. But I did get a lot out of this movie. I really liked Olivia Munn's character a lot. There's a scene where she full out attacks the Predator, and
what about the fact that she was just a biologist? I mean, did I miss something? Did they get into her combat training or anything?
Yeah, she said she shot guns. Yeah, she talked about how she shot guns before.
I've shot guns before. It doesn't mean I could attack a Predator.
Well, she wasn't sniping anybody. She was shooting like broadly, like the rest of the people were.
Yeah, I think she would have been hiding in a lot of the scenes where she was instead chasing.
No, I think the stakes were there that she knew that like this thing had to be stopped.
I don't know. I didn't think her aggressiveness in the movie was that believable. I saw something where somebody said something about people being scared. They weren't scared enough, and it's like, wow,
that was soldiers. That was the same thread that I saw. That these guys are making jokes. They shouldn't be making jokes. They should have been scared. I go, first of all, they were crazy,
and they're soldiers. Soldiers make jokes in those situations.
Yeah, soldiers. Yeah,
I know from talking to a friend who's been in those situations. They do crack jokes and stuff when they're being shot at.
You have friends who fought aliens. No.
I said soldiers.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. That was my argument.
And maybe. Those are just the classified files he can't tell me about.
Yeah, you have some G14 classified shit. But yeah, you might have seen my argument with the guy who was saying that there's no way these people would have been making jokes. I'm like, dude, these people were crazy. But did you see he retracted and say, you're right?
Yeah,
I didn't think about that, and I said congratulations for being the first person in the history of the internet to change your opinion based upon something somebody else said.
What was Thomas Jane faking his Tourette's?
No, it was real.
Because at one point they're like, welcome back, and he said something, and he no longer had Tourette's or something.
Because the combat was active.
And that, it kind of kept him from his tics?
Yes, I believe the combat and the excitement and kept him from his tics. I believe Nebraska, was that his name? Nebraska mentioned that?
He did a good job, Thomas Jane. He did.
It was a great love story, too, between Thomas Jane and Keegan-Michael Key.
Friendship, love.
But yes, their love for each other and the shit they seen. Anyway, this movie was funny. The action was really good. You do get to learn a little bit more about the predators, which shouldn't call them predators. You should call them sport hunters, which was a joke of the movie. I love that. Sterling K. Brown. How about him?
Oh, he was. He was over the top bad. Something that we've complained about in characters.
I didn't think it was over the top.
He was really charismatic and funny.
I don't think it was over the top. I think he was right at the edge. Like some of the stuff that he said, like when we voted on Predator and Predator wins out, and I forget the line, but he was really funny.
Yeah, he was. He was very charismatic. He was funny.
Yes. I'd actually like to see him in more roles like that, where he's a villain, but a really likable.
But like
villain.
I said, I thought some of his villainous ways were a little over the top.
Yeah.
I thought the dogs in this were terrible.
I liked it.
I thought it was awful.
You talking about the CGI or just the concept of them?
The concept of them. I didn't want those.
There was some weird shit with like the shot to the head on one of the dogs, like changed his behavior.
You lobotomized him.
That was kind of a miss for me, like a big miss. I liked the dogs until that point, and then the dogs kind of became like this thing that just kind of like followed Olivia Munn around. I'm like, that's weird. Like,
yeah. I thought the at one point Olivia Munn says, when she looks at the Predator, she says, "You're one beautiful motherfucker." obviously a take on one ugly motherfucker.
I liked it.
But I didn't like that. I didn't like the, there were a couple other nods. The get to the chopper one, I didn't think. I thought it fell flat as a nod.
I see in all those like little throwbacks, whatever you want to call them, nods, I actually like them a lot. The one being a shout out to another Shane Black movie was the Kiss Kiss Bang Bang one. Sterling K. Brown says, you have six guys, I have seven guys, let's just call a truce. And then one of the six guys shoots one of the seven guys in the head and kills him. And he goes, it's 6-6. Who taught you math? Well, anybody who's ever seen Kiss Kiss Bang Bang knows who taught you math is probably one of the funniest lines in that movie. Yeah. I also, and this is kind of a deep thing that I thought about after the movie, I absolutely loved the way they portrayed Rory, is his name? Rory McKenna, who was Boyd Holbrook's son. They portrayed his handicap as
evolution.
Evolution. Meaning he had Asperger's, which is a form of autism. When I say it was evolution, meaning it's our next step in the evolutionary chain. And they introduce it so well. There's a scene where these bullies come in and smack all the chess pieces off the chess boards in the chess club. And then they leave. And then this boy, Rory, picks up all the chess pieces and puts them all back in the exact spot they were on the boards. Like all these games, they were mid-game. And he remembered where they all went. And then they talk about how that's our next step in the evolutionary chain. And I love how they turned a handicap into a strength.
Yeah,
I thought that was amazing.
I agree with you, but the kid was another thing wrong with this movie. We don't need this kid in a Predator movie. Cut him out. Get the soldiers. Let's have a Predator movie. We don't need the kid.
I think it was important for what I was saying earlier about how they never focus on character development of any of the characters in these Predator movies. Well, they did with Quinn, who was Boyd Holbrook. They did focus on some character development. You learn a lot about him and his life and what he's done and who he is. And for somebody who likes character development, I find that shocking that you
didn't like the, I guess I didn't like the end road. I don't know. Road.
I don't know.
That's a weird word.
When I rank this movie, which I'm going to give my ranking right now, I'm going to go with Predator movies just because action Predator movies, things like that. Okay, so
I think that comes into account when you rank a movie
right.
like this.
Okay, so
I think it just naturally plays in.
So Predator 1
so
is
you're
a 10.
You're actually going to rank them all. Oh, okay.
No, no. I rank this one. If Predator 1 is a 10.
You should have told me we were doing this so I could have prepared.
Predator 1 is a 10. Predator 2 is a 9.9. Predators is like a 7.8. This movie, 9.5. I put it right up there with being
okay.
almost as good as Predator 1.
Predator 1's a 10.
It has to be a 10.
Predator,
this one.
Predator 2 is a 9.1. Predators, Adrian Brody, is 5.0.
Yeah.
And then this one is a 7.8.
Okay. I really enjoyed this movie.
Now, realistically, IMDb rating this and taking other Predator movies into account, I give this a 6.5.
I'd say 7. It's got a 6.1, which,
because, like I said, with everything wrong with this movie, I still enjoyed it. It was still fun. It was still the Predator.
How cool was the scene where the Predator was fighting people with no weapons? Everybody had weapons and he didn't in the lab. I love that scene. You see a Predator, actually what a Predator is capable of without his, you know, his photon phaser and his knives and his web thing that he shoots out. It's just a butt
web
naked
thing.
Yeah, in Predator 2 when he shoots the web at the thing and it drills into the wall and cuts the razor.
Oh,
wire
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah, like
yeah.
the net.
Yeah,
okay, yeah,
net,
yeah, yeah, I got
not
you.
Not web, net, yeah. So without all his gizmos and gadgets, dude, they're still fucking hard ass, dude. Like, I mean, took on like 20 people, man.
I thought they tried to put too much story in this. Just tried to get too much into
See?
It. With the, there's human DNA in this. And then, what's her name? Olivia Munn says, oh, so I'm here to find out if somebody fucked an alien.
Yeah.
It's like, just, they're hunters. They come here to hunt. Let's leave it at that.
Okay, I get that. But at the same time, them saying this is why they're doing what they're doing, I feel like, I mean, it's been 20, 30 years. We can have an explanation now. Was it 87, 88?
I don't know. See, I don't think we do. Do we need an explanation why people go into the woods and sit in a tree stand and shoot deer?
Okay. Now, if that's what the predators were doing, fine. But that's what we thought they were doing. But now we know, because this is canon now, that's not what they were really doing.
But and I think that's what...
You think that's what made the predator predator?
I guess that's why I don't like this storyline, because I think they're just coming here hunting for sport. I don't like this little turn. I didn't like it. Well, I like I said, I enjoyed the movie, but there were just a bunch of things I didn't like about the movie.
Okay. And I wanted to get into more about like what the predators were doing, why they were doing it, and I felt like this movie put out some ants, not all by any means, but I liked it, that turn, that they're not actually coming here to hunt for fun. They're doing it for a reason. Yeah. I mean, it kind of does, if you think about it, it kind of does change the whole arc of the Predator itself. Like who they are.
Let me ask you a question, though. When Jake Busey came on screen and you first saw him, did you immediately want to punch him in the face?
I did.
So did I.
I did.
I hate Jake Busey.
He's such a twat.
All right. What time is it?
Hammer time.
No, I meant like time for the... Gotta sing it.
Time for the what? What?
Third act, you knob.
Third act, you knob.
No, you gotta sing it. You gotta say, third act.
Third act. Shout out to Juice. All right. My homework assignment was Arizona. This movie was rad. I liked it.
Did you? Good.
I did.
I'm so glad.
I did.
Even though it was Kenny Powers, okay, I still thought there was a good twist on it.
Here's the thing about that. You warned me that it was just Danny McBride being Kenny Powers, but only a killer. It didn't start off that way. He didn't start off as Kenny Powers. He turned into Kenny Powers. Okay, so he kills the first person on accident, kind of. I mean, they were fighting. And then he started doing a whole bunch of bad stuff. And then about halfway through the movie, he really got like, I felt like he got just dumber and dumber and dumber the second one on.
He explained it at the end.
Yeah, he did. He did.
Yeah, because he was like, listen, I ain't getting out of this.
Yeah.
I only got one chance to get out of this is to kill everybody and make a run for it.
Yeah. So I really liked this movie. I thought What's Her Face was really good. The lead actress, I thought she was really good. And I liked how you see people in this movie and then you don't. Watch Arizona when it, I enjoyed it. It's a good story. And I'm sure people have felt the way that Danny McBride felt in this movie, you know, like, especially during the housing crisis, like, is what this movie's about.
Yeah, they really, I mean, it really is about the housing crisis. And what I really liked is these neighborhoods in Arizona that were booming in 08. They're selling property. People are going in there building houses. Then you got this crash, and what you're left with is half-finished neighborhoods where, I mean...
Only three of the houses are occupied in the entire neighborhood.
You've got a neighborhood filled with 30 houses, and there's only two people that live in the entire neighborhood. Yeah.
And that weird security guard, they're not even paying me right now. I'm just here.
Like, I haven't been paid in 2 months.
Yeah. But yeah, I really like this movie. Yeah, Seth. I almost said Seth Rogen. Seth Rogen. I almost said Joe Rogan. Seth Rogen, Luke Wilson.
I think it's a little low on the IMDb.
What is the IMDb score?
5.7.
This gets a 7. I liked 7? It. I liked it, man. It was good.
I'd give it a 6.6.
Yeah, I mean, Danny McBride usually isn't my thing. Like when he's Kenny Powers, but in this movie, I bought it. I don't know why, but in this movie, I bought it. Oh, also, Caitlin Olsen.
Yeah. Sweet D.
Sweet D.
Which we never talked about, but have you watched any of the new season?
No.
Oh, there's been two episodes. They're both good. Mm-hmm. Mac got shredded, dude.
I saw that.
Mac's freaking huge.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yoked.
All right, your homework assignment stars Kristen Bell and, in his Emmy-nominated performance, Ted Danson. His show, you can watch it on Netflix. The first two seasons on Netflix. Season 3 starts the 27th, which of this month, September. 20-minute episodes. Sometimes an episode will go by and you're like, oh my God, this episode's over already, because a lot happens in each episode, but the episodes are so short because it's a half an hour series, and when you watch them without commercials, it's
right.
So quick. You can watch a whole season in, like, I don't know, like 2 hours.
I don't think you said
2.5 hours. I have not. I have not. It is called The Good Place, and I will give you a small premise. Kristen Bell dies and goes to The Good Place, and she's a shitty person, and it was a clerical error made by the people who are in charge of the afterlife. Somebody else with her same name died at the exact same time, and she was supposed to go to the bad place, and she wound up in The Good Place. And all the people she meets were amazing people on Earth.
And she was a shame.
And she doesn't understand why she's there, and she knows immediately that she's not supposed to be there. The first person she meets after Ted Danson was a professor of human ethics and moral theology, and devoted his entire life to charity. And she just, right away, she goes, yeah, I'm not supposed to be here. And that's the premise of the show.
All right. I will say that I do need more Ted Danson in my life, because I don't know that I've said this on the show, but Cheers is like my
all-time favorite
sitcom.
Yeah. But yeah, The Good Place is fantastic. Somebody told me to watch it like a long time ago, and I put it off and put it off and put it off. I had a couple days off this week. I watched both seasons, and now me and my wife are watching it again because she caught like one episode and she's like, this is hilarious. And so we started it over, and now we're both watching it again for the second time. The second time in like 5 days we're going through this series. That's how good it is. Also, Adam Scott from Parks and Rec is in it. He plays a demon. He's great. And that's pretty much it for people you'll recognize. Oh, Maya Rudolph.
Oh,
but,
great.
One episode. She's got one episode. But yeah, really good, really, really good show. I love it. I think it's got an 8.2 on IMDb, maybe 8.3, maybe 8.1. Who cares? But yeah, Ted Danson just got him an Emmy nod for it and didn't win, but he's really, really good. All right.
All right.
This is your revisit.
Yeah. This is a 1984 movie. And Sreten, if I were to ask you, what is the greatest action adventure comedy of all time? There's really only one acceptable answer. I won't put you on the spot. I'll say it and tell me if you agree. Okay. Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Okay. That's what I was going to say.
Okay. I didn't want to put you on the spot.
You got me nervous. I was going to say any one of the Indiana Jones movies, not the third one because it came out later, but.
Yeah, but Raiders of the Lost Ark, greatest action adventure comedy of all time. But if you had to pick a number two, this is number two. Romancing the Stone.
I saw that when I was a kid. I never saw it again.
I've seen this movie plenty of times. It holds up. This movie is fantastic. And like I said, next to Raiders of the Lost Ark, I think it's the best action adventure comedy, which I thought I made up, but it actually says action adventure comedy right there on IMDb. So I absolutely love this movie. I've watched this movie numerous times since I was a kid. Michael Douglas, Kathleen Turner,
Danny DeVito.
Those are the three main ones that you're going to recognize. There's a couple other, the guy that plays, the guy says, I don't have a car. I have a little mule. You know who I'm talking about? Do you remember?
Did he have the big truck?
Yes.
That's El Guapo. That's El Guapo from, Three Amigos.
Yeah. He's hilarious.
Puts the gun through the door. Yeah.
You're John Wilder?
Yeah.
The novelist?
Yes, the novelist. Oh, I love you.
I read all your books.
Yeah, that's El Guapo from Three Amigos. I love that guy.
But yeah, I absolutely love this movie, and I can't believe that I haven't thought of it as a revisit before. But
it's a good flick.
Yeah.
So there's a sequel. I watched a sequel
Jewel
recently.
Jewel of the Nile.
And I didn't think it was terrible.
It's not.
Same characters, Danny DeVito, Kathleen Turner, and is it Michael Douglas. Yeah. Noel Guapo.
Which,
but
when Michael Douglas walked out on stage last night during the Emmys, did you first think that was Kirk Douglas? I don't know.
He's old, dude.
Every time I see him, I think Kirk Douglas at first because he's so white
in
the hair.
I did think he had the best What do you call it? Banter? When he talked about how many Emmys and Oscars he's lost. Yeah.
He's like, remember all of those and fill yourself with rage.
And then he had a missed opportunity there instead of saying the winner is, he should have said, now you're going to find out who all you losers are.
Yeah,
and,
right.
you know, like, should have said something like that. But yeah, that was really good.
Jack T. Colton in Romancing the Stone.
And Jewel of the Nile.
Yes. And the T stands for trustworthy.
I remember that, dude. It's been a long time since I've seen it, but I remember that. And I remember El Guapo, dude. Ooh, I read all of your books.
I love this movie.
They jump the thing, and then he's got the remote control to the bridge, and the bridge goes up, and then the tank or the jeep drives into it.
Remember when they're in the river, in the car?
So when he drags it,
it's floating down the river, and she's sitting there like steering, and he's like looking out the window. He looks back at her. He goes, "What are you steering for?"
Yeah. All right. Call us. Talk to us. Let us know what you think about the Emmy Awards. And what did you think of The Predator? A lot of bad reviews of this movie. I think people were expecting, Three Billboards or some kind of epic plot line. But if you wanted an epic plot line, The Predator just isn't your franchise. It's about an alien that comes to Earth and kills people. Anyway, call us. Leave us a voicemail. 219-649-1071. I'm Vincent Romero, 82 on Twitter.
Chris Barney, 3 on Twitter.
And we are pricksonflicks@gmail.com. We will release 2 episodes this week. This episode will come out on Thursday, which it's Thursday and you're listening to us. Thank you. And Saturday for our party one. Is that cool?
Whenever you say.
Oh, yeah. Saturday. We'll give you a weekend one. Weekend episode Saturday. And it's just about 20 minutes just after the party. We talked to some people about the movie we watched, which you'll find out what that was when you listen to that episode. Love you. Thank you very much for listening to us. Anything else, Chris?
Got a quote? Do you?
No, but I was hoping you did so I can.
I do, but it's short, so you want to pause it a second? Bloop,
bloop. Okay, last week Chris talked about a TV show coming out, and he forgot the name of it. It was about the airplane that goes missing for 5 years, and everybody stays the same age, and they come back.
5 years, 3 years, 4 years, whatever it is.
Yeah, I thought it was 5, but yeah, whatever it is. That's called Manifest, and that debuts on the 24th, which is next Monday, so set your DVRs for that, because we're definitely going to talk about that one next week.
Yeah, but it really could just be a bad Lost.
It could. Yeah, we have no idea.
I just think it looks cool.
It does look. It's a really cool concept. Plane goes up in the air, doesn't come down for 5 years. Everybody stays the same age, and time moved on. I think it's cool. And also, big, 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 big season debut next Tuesday, 25th. You can watch Mandy Moore, Sterling K. Brown, Vilo Ventimiglia, and all the rest of the guys from This Is Us Season 3. That's Tuesday the 25th. Season 3 starts. Apparently, we're going to find out what happened to Jack during Vietnam War, making such a nice guy.
So anybody that's like really living really happily, go ahead, watch the show, knock you down a notch.
Yeah, they actually made a few jokes about that on the Emmys last night. Just like, well, why didn't we say that? Because it was too happy.
It said something about killing a cat, and Sterling K. Brown goes, "Oh yeah, we could use that on the show."
Yeah, yeah. I think it's cool that they realize that the show. We'll just put your ass in tears.
They also said something about it being so sad, and then they were like, well, but there's also, you could always watch The Handmaid's Tale instead.
Yeah. All right. You got your quote? You want me to go first? You want to go?
Doesn't matter. I can go first.
Okay.
All right. Mine is Danny DeVito's character in Romancing the Stone. I had it in my hands, Ira. These hands that are going to break every bone in your body. Later. Now, it doesn't come through as well because in between the line and the later was a cock of a gun. Mm. So,
mine was Sterling K. Brown in The Predator talking to the people getting ready to go hunt the Predator. Gentlemen, they're large, they're fast, and fucking you up is their idea of tourism.